fun of everybody who plays, this sermon might be good for you. Anyway, we're talking about words today, talking about the God's wisdom on words, our speech, how we communicate, not just our words, but I would say maybe how we text. Anything that you're doing to communicate to other people. Communication, our words, is the second most covered topic in the book of Proverbs. We've been going through the book of Proverbs for the past month or so. And all the wisdom that Solomon gives us, and there's so much on words. I have here a stat. The average woman speaks 20,000 words a day. Let that sink in. The average man speaks 7,000 words a day. I don't know why. I just thought that was important to point that out. Words have power. Doug Rothrock was in here first service, and he afterwards told me he's scared to speak the rest of the day. But words have power to build people up and give them life, or to tear people down and destroy their lives. Words have so much power. We can use our words to inspire and to encourage. We can use our words to deflate and discourage. How we use in our words. I read about a pastor who had a young little daughter, and his custom was, he'd come up to the pulpit and he would bow his head and he'd pray, and his daughter noticed that and asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm asking the Lord to help me deliver a good sermon. And his daughter says, how come the Lord never answers that? And when it comes from a child, I mean, it's so innocent and sweet and blunt and honest and hurts. But, sometimes that's a 20-year-old that says that. Sometimes it's a 30-year-old or 40-year-old. The words that we say, sometimes they cut people down. They can destroy people. So we got to think about our words today. Think about how we speak. There's a whole lot of tearing down going on with our words, the way we communicate, the way we talk about others. Here in America, we talk about, two God-given rights that we have. One, the right to bear arms. That's important to us. And I'd ask you, what is the most dangerous weapon out there? It's the tongue. And you have a right to have a tongue, but it's dangerous. It's a dangerous weapon. And here in America, we have freedom of speech. The law of the land, you have a right to say anything you want to say. That's America. But I'd like to contrast that. What does God say? What does God's word say on this issue here? And I'd like to take you through a couple of scriptures. James talks a lot about this. In James chapter 1, it says this. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Just going to let that one sink in a little bit here. And let me ask you, how are you doing with this? How are you doing with this? Are you keeping a tight rein on your tongue? If not, it says here, your religion is worthless. First Peter chapter 4 says this, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. When we speak, it should be the words of God. Well, that means we should be intentional with our words. We should be deliberate with our words. We should be purposeful with the way we speak to one another. The very words of God. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So no unwholesome talk, but only that which is helpful for building others up. Does that describe you? Is this you? Are you speaking words that are unwholesome? Are you speaking words that are building people up? Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Let me remind you of Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah saw the Lord. Remember this? Isaiah saw the Lord. And he says, woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. And you remember what had to happen here? In order for God to use him, God had to cleanse him. An angel was sent to touch his lips with a hot coal. I'm thinking, ouch, that sounds painful. But I'm also thinking maybe that needs to happen to us. And in order for us to be used by God, in order for us to do great things in God's name, for God to be glorified through our lives, God needs to cleanse us. He needs, beginning with our lips. and it might be painful. The tongue is so powerful. You think about some of the words, think about the words, I love you. Oh, the power in those words, or the word guilty. There's power in that word. No. That's a powerful word. I have a dream. Give me liberty or give me death. Dinner's ready. I mean, words communicate a lot. And simply changing the way we speak could revolutionize our lives and our relationships, our church, our nation. You think about what's going on in our nation, how we are destroying each other with our words. And we're calling each other all these names, racist or homophobic or snowflake or whatever we're calling. And we think that we're going to be constructive doing this? We think we're helping? Are we just more part of the problem? Proverbs has much to say about the way we use our words. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, the tongue of the wise promotes health. Do you want good health? Start with the tongue. Proverbs 21, 23, whoever guards his mouth keeps his soul from trouble. You got a lot of trouble in your life? Maybe it's because of the words that you're using, the way you're speaking. Proverbs 12, verse 22, those who deal truthfully are God's delight. And the key text today, the verse I really want to focus in on is Proverbs 18, verse 21, the tongue can bring death or life. Our words literally have the power of death or life. Let me start with God's word. God, when God speaks, and let me tell you Genesis chapter 1, in the very beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. In the darkness, he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And you see the same pattern play out through the book, through the first chapter of Genesis. God says, and it happened. And God calls, and it was. And when God said, when God spoke, he was speaking into chaos. He was speaking into nothingness. And that which was nothing became something of value and beauty just because God said so. Out of the chaos became creation. God built this world that we live on, the planet, the animals, the vegetation, all these things with his word. The word I want to camp out on here is the word edification. Edification means to build. Is that not what God did with creation? He built. And how did he build? How did he edify? He edified with his word. The verbal activity of God is literally what brought you and I into creation, what brought us into existence, is that God spoke. And we have life. But God called, in verse 5, he called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the waters he called sea, all these things. He gave it identification. He identified all these things, and he's God, so he identified everything correctly. You and I, not so much. We got to be careful now. I'll get to that here. And then in verse 24, you see God blessed his creation. And whatever God blesses, multiplies. That's a characteristic of God. It multiplies life. So when God spoke, he edified. And when God spoke, he identified. And when God spoke, he blessed, he multiplied. God's words are powerful. They give life. And here's the thing. I say all that to point out you are created in his image. If you can connect the dots right there, God speaks, wow. You're in his image. You're created in his image. Purposely, he created you in his image. He gave you a mouth. He gave you a tongue. He gave you the ability to speak. And it should have, I don't know. I'll get to it. All right, so let's talk about Jesus. Jesus, it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when Jesus spoke, Jesus, who is God, when Jesus spoke, lame men walked, and Jesus spoke, and lepers were healed, and Jesus spoke, and the storm ceased, and Jesus spoke, and dead men came out of graves. When Jesus spoke, it was recognized in John 7, verse 46, a guard said this, looking at Jesus, no one ever spoke the way this man does. No one ever spoke the way this man does. This man is Jesus. And you and I are called Christians. We are supposed to be Christ-like. Maybe there's something we need to learn from Jesus, how Jesus spoke and there was power in his words. When you speak, there's power in your words, power for life or power for death. But there's power. Do we recognize that? Do we even acknowledge that? We are created in God's image. We are Christians. Another thing I want to point out about Jesus in John chapter 1, the word was full of grace and truth. You and I who are Christians, we're supposed to be Christ-like. Our words should be full of grace and truth. We should talk like no other people talk. We should talk like Christ, and Christ talked like no one ever talked. There's some things to learn here. Our words are powerful, created in the image of God. Our words have power. And the ability, I read this, is interesting. The ability to speak is one of the key things that separates you from an animal. Because animals can't speak. They can communicate, but they can't speak. They can't do what you can do. Animals don't build libraries full of books which are full of words. That's something that's uniquely human. Speaking is one of the unique features of being created in God's image. Squirrels can't do that. Birds can't do that. Dogs can't do that. Speaking is one of the unique features of being created in God's image. The one whose words were so awesome gave you and I the same capacity. That shook my world right there. I'm hoping your world is being shaken a little bit. That because how much I've gone through so much of my life not thinking about this. I was so convicted all week long as I'm studying verse after verse that there's so much power in our words. What are we doing with the words that come out of our mouth? So many times what we say is so reckless and so harmful, and we don't ever think about it. We're numb to it. Our words are for edification. God spoke, and it was. Out of nothing became creation. Creation from chaos. What Jesus does with us, taking what was nothing, I was nothing, non-existent, and he gave me life. He gave you life. What Jesus does with our brokenness, he rebuilds us. And he rebuilds, he's rebuilt us by his word. And the words that the Lord has given you and I to speak to one another, these words should be edifying. We should be building one another. In Romans 14, verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. That's what the Bible says. That's how we are supposed to use our words, to edify one another, to build one another up instead of destroying one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We are to edify. We are to build one another up. How we cultivate one another's lives. It's not difficult to see in people who have been nourished by a loving mother and father and loving grandparents and loving friends, a loving church, and people whose lives have been nurtured by other people who care. They've invested into them. They've poured their lives into them. They've built them up. At the same time, you can see other people whose lives have been so belittled by a mom or by a dad or by a sibling or by a coworker or by a classmate. And they've been belittled, and it leaves them torn up, leaves them destroyed. Whatever was built in us, whether it be something beautiful or something distorted, is directly related to the words that people have used in our lives. You and I, we have power to edify. We have a biblical mandate to edify. So I want to ask you, are your words edifying? Secondly, our words are for identifying. God called the light day. He called the night, the darkness night. And you and I, we can identify certain things. We can recognize certain things. Think about this here. How has people identified you before? They identified you as smart, talented, beautiful, ugly, fat, loser, failure, idiot, clown, evil, incompetent. But it's a shame here. I got a lot more bad words than I got good words here. But isn't that common that people do, we label people in ugly ways. Karen Carpenter, remember the Carpenters? This is a long time ago, 1972, I think. Karen Carpenter died of an eating disorder, which was directly related to some criticism she received when she was referred to by a columnist as Richard's chubby little sister. So she developed an eating disorder. She died at the age of 32. That's how she was labeled, a chubby little sister. And it affected her greatly. Our words have power of life and death. Let me take you to Numbers 13, verse 32. This is the 12 spies. Remember the 12 spies that were sent into the promised land, and they were to come back with a report. And this is what it says specifically. It says, so they brought to the people of Israel an evil report about the land they had spied out. Now, you think about it. They brought back an evil report. I want to ask you, what made their report evil? They came back and they said, oh, it's a land full of milk and honey. Oh, it's a beautiful land. It's great. It's awesome. What's so evil about that? What was evil about that is everything they said was true, but God called their report evil because the spies did not report from God's perspective. When they said there's giants in that land and we can't do it. They were looking at themselves. They weren't looking at God. Sometimes we speak words that are true, but they're still evil. They're evil because we're only seeing things from our perspective. We're not seeing things from God's perspective. And yeah, I might be ugly and I might be fat, but I am a child of God. That's what needs to be recognized. What does God say about me? What does God say about you? Those are the words you and I, as Christians, as God's people, those are the words we need to be speaking. There's plenty of people out there tearing me down, tearing you down, tearing whoever down. Let's not be those people. Let's not be the 10 of the 12 spies that gave an evil report. Let's be the 2 that came back and said, but God, with God, through God, you are awesome. Because of God, you are somebody that Jesus saw was worth dying for. Let's recognize God's perspective when we speak. If the words said by our parents, a sibling, a teacher, or a friend was edifying, then what happened? They gave you self-worth, they gave you confidence, and I think there's a lot of people in this world lacking confidence. They need confidence. That comes from speaking the words of God into their lives. But if the words that people used were depreciating, derogatory, then that might have made you, you grew up feeling worthless, inadequate, no confidence, low confidence. The power of the words to identify is an awesome responsibility that God has given us. How are we identifying each other? And thirdly, our words are for blessing. Romans 12, verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. God blessed, and everything he blessed multiplied. Everything he blessed flourished. Everything he blessed thrived. You and I are called to be a blessing, and our words should be a blessing. You and I were called to edify and to identify and give life the way that God gives life, with our words. Now, I don't know if that's such an abstract concept that's hard for us to understand, but that's the heart of what I'm trying to say here. We are created in the image of God. In the way that God spoke and brought life, he's given us the ability to speak and give life. He's endowed us with the power to give life. But he's given us, this is really cool here, he's given us the power to give life two ways. One, biologically, We talked about that last week. That was fun, right? And secondly, verbally. He's given us the power to give life verbally. Do we appreciate that? Do we understand that? The power we have to give life verbally, the power that we have to give death verbally. There's power with your words. The tongue can bring death and life. So let me get into some specifics here in the book of Proverbs. Words of death that Proverbs describes. One, lies. The lies that people say. Proverbs 12, verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Lies are always words of death. Proverbs 15, verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And there are several proverbs about this, a deceitful tongue, how it's terrible. Trusting relationships are built on truthful words, and we need trusting relationships, and those relationships are torn up when there's lies. Ephesians 4, verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's what it says. So we need to put away falsehood, put away lies, put away deceit. That's not of God. That does not give life. That gives death. Another thing that's identified in Proverbs is perverse words. In Proverbs 10, verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. Proverbs 19, verse 1, better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. And I saw so many verses that talked about this, perverse tongue, perverse lips. What is perverse? What is that? Is that cussing? Is that cursing? And it was pointed out to me this week that there's a difference between cussing and cursing. There's a difference. Cussing is four-letter words. Don't say those words. Cursing is when you tear somebody down. It's not necessarily four-letter words. Sometimes we Christians, we have the ability to curse somebody with very acceptable words. Like when we say, you know, bless their little heart, you know, their cornbread's not quite done. What are you doing? You're not building them up. You're tearing them down. You're tearing perfectly acceptable words. It sounds cute. We all laugh. It's fun. You're cursing. You're not edifying. You're tearing somebody down. James 3, verse 10 says, out of the mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Yeah. This is not of God. This is not how God wired us, why he gave us the ability to speak so that we can praise him and curse one another. That's not of God. Colossians 3, verse 8, but now you must rid yourself of all such things, such as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Christians, we are to rid ourselves of filthy language. And it's just another area where I feel we become so numb to our words. Like, it doesn't matter. We don't care. Road rage, you go down the street and you see somebody cuts you off and you yell, you idiot! Your windows were closed. Nobody was in the car with you. You're just venting. It's not of God. That's not of God. It's a bad habit. And someday your windows will be down and somebody's going to catch you saying these things. But God knows you're saying these things and God says he doesn't like it. As a Christian, we should not be saying these things. Ephesians 5, verse 3. Among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because those are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place. It's out of place for a Christian. So let me ask you again, what is perverse? In your mind, what is perverse? Let me ask you, do certain words bother you? And if so, why? And maybe think about the flip side of that. Do certain words not bother you? And if not, why not? Why not? Why are certain words acceptable and other words aren't acceptable? Who makes this list of bad words? I don't know who makes that list. Why can I say darn, but I can't say the other? I can't say it. I just can't say it. But I can say darn. You know what? That's okay. Why did my mom wash my mouth out with soap, but she didn't wash my dad's mouth out with soap? I don't understand that one. What is perverse? And it's not about a list of words. It's about the principle. Are we building up? Or are we tearing down? Are we giving life? Or are we giving death? The tongue has a power of death and life. Another category that I want to identify here through Proverbs is complaining. Complaining is off limits, and I got to be careful. I just confess to you, I did this right before the first service. I was on a roll, too, and it was good, but I was complaining. It's what I was doing, and I'm like, I can't write a sermon and not... we're bad at this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, and do not grumble as some of them did, and they were killed by the destroying angel. Do not grumble. The book of Numbers is all about, they could be relabeled the book of complaining. They complained about how hard it was out in the desert. They complained about the food. They complained about Moses. They complained about everything. Whiners run in the family. It's a learned behavior. Whiners have no idea how much they're irritating or deflating the people around them. Whiners don't know they're whiners. They think they're being reasonable. They think they're being honest. But what you need to understand, when you're whining, first of all, it's contagious. It's destructive. It's a terrible witness. It's a sign of ungratefulness. It's an indication that you're not trusting God. Think about the things that we complain about, the things we whine about here. We complain about our kids. We complain about our parents. We complain about our money, the lack of money. We complain about our health, our work, our the food, you know, the traffic. That's what got me this morning. That's what I went off on. The weather, we complain about politics. We're just good at it. But Proverbs 19, verse 3 says, a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. When we're complaining, we're just raging against the Lord. All the ways that God has blessed us, and we're ungrateful, and we're complaining, we're raging against the Lord. Philippians 2 says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Do everything without complaining, and you will shine like a star in the universe. Because there's a lot of darkness in this world, a lot of people complaining. Don't be one of those people. Don't grumble. Don't be like the people in the book of Numbers. Be grateful. Show God that you're grateful. Another issue that was identified as gossip, that's throughout Proverbs, Proverbs 16, verse 28, gossip separates the best of friends. Relationships that, you know, were built over years and years and years can be destroyed by somebody's gossip, destroyed overnight. What else I got? Belittling words. This is what it says in Proverbs 11, verse 12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. Think about it. Whoever belittles, you lack sense. You're a fool. That's what the Bible says. You're being foolish if you belittle somebody because you don't understand why God gave you that tongue. You don't understand why God gave you the ability to speak. You're not using it the way that God wired you to use it, the way that God wants you to use it. When you're tearing other people down, when you're belittling other people. Another huge area in Proverbs is careless words, rash words, harsh words. Proverbs 12, verse 18, some speak rashly like the cutting of a sword. That's what it, when your words are careless, it's like a cutting of a sword. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many times in your anger you said something that you regret? You said something, because you can't take it back. Oh, you wish you could take it back. But, you know, whatever you said, it's out there, and it's out there forever. They can forgive you, but they might have a hard time forgetting what you said. So be careful with your careless words. Proverbs 12, verse 18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 29, verse 20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Like I said, it comes up over and over and over. Are you being careless with your words? Do you understand your words have the power of life and your words have the power of death? Let me share with you what Jesus said in Matthew 12. This will hurt, but this is what he says. He says, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. All right, before we get out of here, let me Let me share with you a list of words of life. What I see in Proverbs, words that we should. In Proverbs 10, I would encourage you this week to read the, Proverbs chapter 10 and just meditate on that chapter this week. There's a lot about the righteous, the words of the righteous. That it says in Proverbs 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. You and I, we have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. You and I have been called to be righteous. We are called to be a holy people. Our words should be a fountain of life. And our words should be healing. Proverbs 12, verse 18, the words of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15, verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. And can we not see there are people who are hurting all around us? You might be one of those people who are hurting. We live in a nation that is hurting. Hurting because we have destroyed one another with our words. Somebody's got to bring healing. And you and I are the body of Christ, which means to me, you and I are the mouth of Christ. And we've been given the words of Christ. We've been given the words of healing. We need to speak these words. Another category here, our words should be wise and thoughtful. Proverbs 10, verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. When we speak the words of God, when we speak the word of God, when you memorize scripture and you can speak that, you're speaking wisdom. And the world desperately needs the wisdom of God. So you and I need to speak that. Proverbs 12, verse 25 talks about kind and gentle words. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Are your words kind? Are your words gentle? Are your words pleasant? It says here, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words, kind words, gracious words, gentle words. Another category, true words. Proverbs 12, verse 19, truthful lips endure forever. But a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Our words should be truthful. The world needs truth. And one more, nourishing words, Proverbs 10, verse 21, the lips of the righteous nourish many. The lips of the righteous nourish many. Let me close by just emphasizing, once again, we need healing. So many people around us need healing. Our nation needs healing. And your words can be a weapon of demolition and destruction, or your words can be a source of healing, a wonderful tool that God has given you, a gift from God given to you to create something beautiful, to build somebody up. To identify what God is doing in their life, or to identify what God wants to do in somebody's life. Your words have the ability to bless. May we ever be mindful of the way that we use our words and how those words are impacting the people around us, our children around us, our community around us, our neighbors, our friends. Our words are impacting people. And it's my prayer that we aspire to use our speech for the glory of God, to build and not to break, to bless and not to badger, to praise and not to pounce. One more verse. I don't know if I have it up here. I don't remember. I think I put it up here. Psalm 141, verse 3. This is how the message, post a guard at my mouth, God. Set a watch at the door of my lips. Can that be our prayer today as we go out for this week? Lord, guard my mouth. Guard my mouth. Help me to speak words that are edifying. Help me to speak words that will bless someone. Help me to speak words that recognize what you're doing. Help me to speak words of life.